On January 23, 2012, the Supreme Court unanimously held in U.S. v. Jones that the warrantless use of a GPS tracking device by the police violated the Fourth Amendment. The court said that a warrant is required where, as here, the government obtains information by physically intruding on a constitutionally protected area, like a car. The questions presented were whether the warrantless use of a tracking device on a petitioner's vehicle to monitor its movements on public streets violated the Fourth Amendment, and whether the government violated respondents' Fourth Amendment rights by installing the GPS tracking device on his vehicle without a valid warrant and without his consent. The Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, filed a Friend of the Court brief in the United States Supreme Court, urging the court to limit the scope of pervasive GPS surveillance by upholding robust Fourth Amendment protections. EPIC and 30 legal and technical experts, including the Center for Democracy and Technology, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Yale Law School, argued that 24-hour GPS surveillance by law enforcement constitutes a search under the Fourth Amendment. U.S. v. Jones involves the government's use, without a judicial warrant, of a GPS device to track a person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The lower court held that the use of the GPS device violated Jones's reasonable expectation of privacy and was therefore a search subject to the reasonableness requirements of the Fourth Amendment. The issue presented in Jones is whether the government can constitutionally install or use a GPS device to track a person's movements in his vehicle without a warrant under the Fourth Amendment. The government engages in this investigatory technique frequently, and the federal circuits are divided on whether the practice violates the Fourth Amendment. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, installed a GPS tracking device on Antoine Jones's car while it was parked in a public lot. The FBI then used the device to track his vehicle's movements continuously for 1 month. Jones's conviction for conspiring to distribute cocaine was partially based on the GPS device's location data. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed Jones's conviction in the consolidated case, United States v. Maynard. The court found that the warrantless GPS tracking was a search and violated the Fourth Amendment. The court did not address whether the GPS device's warrantless installation also constituted a search under the Fourth Amendment. To determine whether a government action constitutes a search under the Fourth Amendment, courts ask whether the investigated person had an expectation of privacy and whether society would view that expectation as reasonable. The D.C. Circuit did not explicitly analyze whether Jones had a subjective expectation of privacy, but it assumed that he did. When analyzing this factor, the Supreme Court considers whether a person took outward actions to shield his activity from the public. The Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit did explicitly analyze whether society would view Jones's expectation of privacy as reasonable. One of the factors courts consider when analyzing this factor is whether the expectation relates to information that was exposed to the public. The D.C. Circuit found that Jones's actions were not actually exposed to the public, even though they all physically took place in public, because the likelihood a stranger would observe all these movements is not just remote, it is essentially nil. The court also found the totality of Jones's movements were not constructively exposed to the public, even though each individual trip took place in public, because the whole of one's movements over the course of a month reveals far more than the individual movements it comprises. Instead, the court recognized that a reasonable person expects each of his movements over the course of a month to remain disconnected and anonymous. The court concluded that Jones had a reasonable expectation of privacy in his movements, and that the GPS tracking constituted a search under the Fourth Amendment. The D.C. Circuit distinguished Jones's facts from those in the Supreme Court's earlier decision on locational tracking, United States v. Knotts, was decided in 1983. The court in Knotts ruled that it did not constitute a search under the Fourth Amendment for law enforcement to install a tracking beeper in a can of chloroform and use the beeper to track the car transporting it along public highways for a single trip. The court held that there was no reasonable expectation of privacy on public roads because the car's movements were knowingly exposed to the public and could have been observed with the naked eye. The D.C. Circuit differentiated between tracking a car for a single trip in Knotts and tracking all of Jones' trips over the course of a month. The court interpreted Knotts to reserve the question of whether a warrant is required for 24-hour tracking when the Supreme Court said, quote, "If such dragnet-type law enforcement practices should eventually occur, there will be time enough then to determine whether different constitutional principles may be applicable," end quote. The government argued in its petition for certiorari, however, that the Supreme Court does not take issue with the prolonged surveillance and that Knotts should govern the court's analysis. In United States v. Cairo, decided in 1984, agents placed a tracking beeper in a can of ether and used it to track the can over 5 months. Unlike the GPS device that tracked Jones, the beeper in Cairo did not track the can for 24 hours a day. The court held that when the beeper transmitted the can's location from inside a private residence, a place not subject to visual surveillance, the tracking constituted a search under the Fourth Amendment. The government's petition interprets the court's lack of analysis regarding the length of the monitoring in Cairo to indicate that prolonged surveillance does not turn tracking into a search under the Fourth Amendment. After the D.C. Circuit overturned Jones's conviction, the government petitioned the D.C. Circuit to rehear the case en banc. The court denied that petition. The government then petitioned the Supreme Court to hear the case and decide whether using the GPS device to track Jones's vehicle constituted a search under the Fourth Amendment. The court granted certiorari on June 27, 2011, and added the question of whether installing the GPS device on Jones's vehicle violated the Fourth Amendment as well. The Supreme Court has also been petitioned to decide the GPS tracking issue in Pineda Moreno v. United States. In that case, the government installed the GPS device to the underside of the defendant's car while it was parked in public and used it to track the car for 4 months. The Ninth Circuit held that the GPS installation was not a search. The court reasoned that there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in vehicles parked in public places or in the undercarriage of a vehicle because any member of the public could access those areas to retrieve a lost ball or a runaway cat. The Ninth Circuit applied Knotts to also conclude that the GPS tracking was not a search because the location information could have been visually attained by following the car. The Ninth Circuit denied a petition for rehearing in 2010, despite Judge Kaczynski's dissent. On January 23, 2012, the Supreme Court unanimously held in U.S. v. Jones that the warrantless use of a GPS tracking device by the police violated the Fourth Amendment. Justice Scalia delivered the opinion of the court, joined by Justices Kennedy, Roberts, Thomas, and Sotomayor, which held that the government's installation of a GPS device on a target's vehicle and its use of that device to monitor the vehicle's movements constitutes a search under the Fourth Amendment. The majority opinion made clear that the government's physical occupation of private property for the purpose of obtaining information would have been considered a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment when it was adopted. Justice Scalia stressed that the holding, while narrow, made clear that the Fourth Amendment, at a minimum, protects from trespassory government searches. Justice Scalia noted that the property-based Fourth Amendment analysis does not foreclose the more expansive, reasonable expectation of privacy analysis based on Katz v. United States, which has been added to, not substituted for, the common law trespassory test. Under Justice Scalia's property-based analysis, the government's key tracking cases, U.S. v. Knotts and U.S. v. Caro, were inapplicable and thus not controlling. Justice Scalia rejected Justice Alito's insistence on an exclusive Katz-based analysis because it would needlessly lead us into particularly vexing problems in the present case. Yet, Justice Scalia's opinion did not foreclose such analysis in future cases, and even noted, it may be that achieving the same result, surveillance of an individual's location over time, through electronic means, without an accompanying trespass, is an unconstitutional invasion of privacy. A group of four justices signed an opinion written by Justice Alito, concurring in the judgment, but not in the opinion of Justice Scalia's majority. Primary thrust of Justice Alito's opinion is that the majority's reliance on 18th-century tort law is ill-suited to the current legal and technological landscape. Justice Alito would have analyzed the question presented in Jones by asking whether respondents' reasonable expectation of privacy were violated by the long-term monitoring of the movements of the vehicle he drove. The first two portions of Justice Alito's opinion focused on criticizing Justice Scalia's use of the property-based Fourth Amendment test. Justice Alito's opinion then identified four major problems presented by the majority approach, including the particularly vexing problems presented in cases involving surveillance that is carried out by making electronic, as opposed to physical, contact with the item to be tracked. Justice Alito argued that the Katz expectation of privacy test avoids the problems and complications noted above, but admitted that it is not without its own difficulties, such as unstable privacy expectations that can change as technology evolves. Justice Alito noted that after Katz, Congress did not leave it to the courts to develop a body of Fourth Amendment case law governing that complex subject. Instead, Congress promptly enacted a comprehensive statute. Indeed, Justice Alito makes clear that in circumstances involving dramatic technological change, the best solution to privacy concerns may be legislative. But ultimately, Justice Alito's opinion held that the use of longer-term GPS monitoring in investigations of most offenses impinges on expectations of privacy, and even though he does not indicate precisely where the line between short-term and long-term monitoring lies, the line was surely crossed before the 4-week mark. Justice Sotomayor joined Justice Scalia's majority, but wrote an individual concurring opinion agreeing with the substance of Justice Alito's concurrence. This concurring opinion created a sort of dual majority in the Jones decision. Justice Sotomayor agreed with the majority's conclusion that the property-based analysis represents an irreducible minimum of Fourth Amendment protection, which is not eliminated by the Katz reasonable expectation of privacy analysis. However, Justice Sotomayor also agreed with Justice Alito's conclusion that at the very least, longer-term GPS monitoring in investigations of most offenses impinges on expectations of privacy. Justice Sotomayor went even further, noting that cases involving even short-term monitoring require particular attention because the government can store such records and effectively mine them for information for years into the future. GPS monitoring is cheap, proceeds surreptitiously, and it evades the ordinary checks that constrain abusive law enforcement practices, such as limited police resources and community hostility. Justice Sotomayor expressed concerns that the government's use of such technology might chill associational and expressive freedoms, and that it may be inappropriate to entrust to the executive, in the absence of any oversight from a coordinated branch, a tool so amenable to misuse. Finally, Justice Sotomayor addressed the most pressing issue threatening Fourth Amendment protections, the third-party doctrine, which states that an individual has no reasonable expectation of privacy in information voluntarily disclosed to third parties. Justice Sotomayor noted that this approach is ill-suited to the digital age, in which people reveal a great deal of information about themselves to third parties in the course of carrying out mundane tasks. You have just listened to an analysis prepared by the Electronic Privacy Information Center. This program has been produced by Radio News Corps with the collaboration of the International Human Rights Law Clinic at the American University Washington College of Law, and edited and post-produced at our studios in Belgium in April of 2012.